This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the program. It is good to have you along. We've taken the mic on the road today to Transitions in Lewisburg, and we have been joined by their CEO, Maylene Kranz, and their outreach coordinator, Lisa Eero. Both have been with us before, but never at the same time and never in the same room. So we're making some post-COVID progress, I guess you could say. So we thank you for joining us. We're here to talk about Sexual Assault Awareness Month and some of the awareness events going on at Transitions and elsewhere. So we'll start with more or less a definition, and if we can go to Maylene for that.
Sure.
Give me a definition of sexual assault. I mean, it's not just the stereotype of the shadowy figure. It's 21st century.
Absolutely. Number one, thanks for having us. To give you a definition of what sexual assault is, sexual assault refers to any sexual contact or behavior that occurs without explicit consent of another individual. So some forms could be attempted rape, fondling or unwanted sexual touching, forcing someone to perform sexual acts, or any kind of penetration without consent. And really, sexual assault impacts every possible population, type of individual. Most commonly, we hear about sexual assaults against women, but it also impacts men, lots of children, transgender individuals, individuals in the LGBTQ community. So this is a problem that's not just local here in the Susquehanna Valley, but nationwide.
Okay. And the numbers, the percentages are so, I don't know what the word is, impressive in a bad way, but I mean, they're pretty much anybody is going to know someone who has been affected.
Yes. Statistically speaking, we always say one out of every six American women has been the victim of an attempted rape or a sexual assault in their lifetime, and about one in 33 men. And so when you think about how that impacts local communities, you're talking about, again, you know, children, middle schoolers, high schoolers, college-age students, adults, professionals. Chances are, if you're in a room with a large group of individuals, there's been many people in that room with you who've been sexually assaulted in some way.
And Sexual Assault Awareness Month, as an observance, has been going on for a couple of decades, correct?
Yeah, we're in our 21st year of raising awareness for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And even though the movement dates back much further than that, we've been focused on it as a nation, really, for the last 21 years.
Like I said at the beginning, this has become so 21st century. There's so much online now that you're also facing.
Yeah, absolutely. So last year and this year, nationally, we've been focused on the theme of creating safe online spaces, because now sexual assault in the world of having to deal with the pandemic and a lot of communications happening more online, meetings happening online, students being online. We're seeing sexually inappropriate behavior happening at a rate much more rapid online. And so our focus in the last 2 years, and again this year, because we're still in the throes of hopefully what will be the end of the pandemic soon, where we're really working on still communicating through online meeting spaces. And we just see that there's an opportunity to talk about how those communications can be healthier and still have some type of consent involved.
I always wonder, why haven't we seen improvement?
I think, one, historically speaking, we don't see victims coming forward. And so there may be this sense of perpetrators feeling like they can get away with a crime. I know we've heard from some perpetrators saying, "I didn't know what I was doing was wrong," but innately, what they're doing is absolutely wrong. And I think we have made some progress in the Me Too movement. You see people feeling more comfortable and more empowered, those who've been victimized, to come forward and share their stories as survivors. But it's such a small amount of individuals who perpetrate sexual assault that actually will end up being prosecuted or ending up in prison. And so it is really difficult for a victim to come forward and talk about what happened because they're being re-victimized when they're sharing their story. And many times they're not believed. And many times the system doesn't work in the way that it should for them. The stories come out, and then you have individuals that focus on victim blaming and why all these things happen, when the reality is when a sexual assault happens, the only person at fault, the only reason, is that the perpetrator chose to do that act.
And I have to say, sometimes I'll see things on social media, comments like that, that I feel like I want to find that person and say, are you not embarrassed to respond to someone who's a victim this way? But it's far more common than we'd like to think.
Absolutely. It's very frustrating for us as an organization, and I think as individual advocates, to see individuals in the community blaming victims, explaining that, well, if they didn't go out and party, if they wore a different type of attire, but none of those are actual reasons as to why sexual assault occurs. And so we do put a lot of focus on trying to educate the general community about what sexual assault is, what they can do about it, how they can support victims and survivors instead of being on the other side of the aisle where they're looking for a reason that doesn't justify the behavior.
And there's a bill right now in Harrisburg dealing with assault of people in care homes. So obviously they're, that kind of puts all those excuses you could give to, put those to rest.
Absolutely. That's one population I didn't mention is the aging population. But you're absolutely right. Sexual assault is happening in care homes as well. And again, it's somebody wanting to have some level of power over another person in a way sexually and not getting consent for that and believing that they can get away with those behaviors and or those behaviors are appropriate. And so we really are focused on making sure that we can raise awareness, talk about what's happening, encourage survivors to come forward, share their stories. And we also work with systems to try to figure out how they can better support individuals who are reporting.
Let's go to Lisa. Speaking of what's happening, what is happening through Transitions during April?
Thanks, Matt. We have some really great things happening this month just to honor Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And one of the things we did, April 5th was our day of action, and we actually all wore teal and the ribbon, which is the ribbon color for sexual assault. And as Mei-Ling had shared earlier, the topic for this month is building safe online spaces together. And so one of the things we're doing throughout the month is we're taking part in the 30 days of SAM, which is the acronym SAAM for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And it's a challenge that was given to all centers like ours through the National Sexual Assault Violence Resource Center. And we're doing things like posting things on Facebook, sharing information, you know, sending positive messages to survivors. We also have a great opportunity next Monday, April 11th from 5 to 7, we're doing an in-person, yay, finally. This is one of our first since the pandemic. So we're super, super excited about this. And we want to fill the 15th Street Park in Lewisburg. It's at the Large Shade Pavilion across from the tennis courts. And we're hoping to have as many people come out as possible. We're going to have a really interesting speaker. Her name is Gigi Kilbrow. And she was actually once a victim herself. And she's emerged. One of her things is she's really emerged as a survivor and has wanted to work with individuals. One of her favorite population to work with is actually the ladies who are incarcerated at SCI Muncie. And she really wants to share her journey of healing and, more importantly, her message to hope for survivors of all ages. And if you have an opportunity, she actually has a book out and it's available on Amazon and I think Barnes and Noble. And it's titled From Within, My Path of Hope and Healing from Sexual Abuse. So we're going to have her, she is going to be our keynote speaker that night. And we would love anybody who is listening to come out for our Take Back the Night event. We're super excited that we're able to be in person. So for those of us who our job is to get out there and spread the word, it's been really difficult to have to try to do it virtually. And so we're really excited that we don't have to do this via Zoom. it's going to be informal. We're going to have an information table set up. We're hoping to have a lot of students from Susquehanna and Bucknell take part in it. I think that's one of the most exciting things for me, is to really see the interest in the students, because we do know that on college campuses, sexual assault is happening more often than not. So we really want to get the word out through the students.
A lot of things obviously now are focused on computers and online stuff, but do people need to be scared away by that, or do you still have the options for people who maybe aren't tech savvy?
Oh, absolutely. I think, I'm not terribly tech savvy either. I usually have to ask my 12-year-old how to help me do stuff. And so I think one of the things, too, is you can always go on to our website and make a donation. I know some people don't often. I know for me, time is really precious. And so if I have a couple of extra dollars, if it's an organization that I really support, I'll go on to their website and I'll make a small donation. And so if that's something that you feel led to do, because any donation helps us to continue to bring these programs and to really helps us to be able to get that out there in public and to get the word out, with the hopes that, one of the things is that only 25 out of every 1,000 rapists will end up in prison. And this is a statistic that to me is very, very disturbing. And so I'm hoping that by not only being able to raise money through our wonderful community, but also getting out there and doing education and outreach events, that we can hopefully decrease the number of rapes actually happening, as well as increasing the number of those who are held accountable for their actions.
So certainly, for folks who need help, there's still a telephone number, and you're still going out in the community, at least resuming that after the pandemic.
Oh, absolutely. This is what's really neat about Transitions. It has a living, breathing human advocate answers this call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and we did not close one day for the pandemic. The hotline number that anyone can call is 1-800-850-7948. And even if you know somebody who's been impacted by this and you yourself is struggling kind of as that support person, we are also here to support you as well. This is really an opportunity for us to be able to feed into the community, and anybody who is struggling can certainly give us a call at that number.
And that number is 1-800-850-7948. And your website?
Is www.transitionsofpa.org.
Any final thoughts on Sexual Assault Awareness Month, Mei-Ling, that you'd like to pass along to our listeners? Information to keep in mind?
Yeah, I think that as we continue to educate the community, please know that Transitions is always available to talk with an individual. Community groups come out and share the information, the statistics, the education, and specifically about the topic of online safety. We can come out and speak with individuals about how they can be safe online while we're still working to communicate through screens and really establish and set boundaries and how families and parents can talk to their children about how to be safe online. It's something that I talk to my kiddos about all the time now that they have to use screens for school. So we're happy to come out during April, but any month really, to speak to anybody within the community about what we do, how they can help share the message, how they can support victims and survivors, and we would be happy to hear from you.
How long has Transitions been around?
So Transitions as an organization started out with a group of women meeting around a kitchen table in 1975. And for a while, we were known as Susquehanna Valley Women in Transition. And a lot of people still refer to us with that name, but we've moved from that name to Transitions of PA simply because we want the community to recognize that women are not the only victims of the types of violence that's occurring in the community, and that it can really happen to anyone. And so we are a comprehensive center. We can serve any individual regardless of who they are, what their age is, where they come from, what their socioeconomic background is, in Union Snyder and Northumberland counties.
And I've been doing this for 33 years, and I've seen that sort of transition of transitions and groups like it as a, you know, much broader spectrum of things you're dealing with. Before we go, I understand there's an upcoming event as nonprofits must do. They must keep operating. And how are you going to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are so excited to finally have an in-person fundraising event. Every year, Transitions typically does an annual auction. Last year, we did it completely virtual. This year, we're back in person with a hybrid event. We are going to be doing a virtual auction from June 2nd through June 8th. You can register on our website, www.transitionsofpa.org. And then on the evening of June 8th, we are going to be in person for anybody who wants to purchase a ticket to come to the event. It's not just a live auction. There will be a program. We will have a keynote speaker who also is a survivor to talk about their experience and why it's so important for programs like Transitions to exist. Our theme this year is New Beginnings. So as we kind of step away, hopefully, from the pandemic, we as an organization are always looking to try to support victims and survivors for that new beginning for them, for that next step where they can feel safe, they can feel supported, and they can move forward positively in their lives.
Okay. And one more time, the times and dates and info on that.
Sure. Virtual silent auction runs from June 2nd through June 8th. Again, registration through our website, both for that and our in-person live auction on the evening of June 8th. Registration is www.transitionsofpa.org.
And we want to thank you for joining us on the program today, Mei Ling and Lisa. We appreciate you sharing all this information with us and keeping us up to date on these important issues. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Matt.
We want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in to the WPGM Community Forum.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.